Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, thank you for being with me today. When our child dies, the darkness can feel suffocating. It can feel like the air has been taken out of the room and sometimes out of our lungs. I remember specifically a moment in time after Becca died. I don't remember how long it had been, but I remember the chair I was sitting in and I realized I wasn't breathing. I had to tell myself to take a breath. Today, I want to talk about something that plays a powerful role in whether that darkness tightens around us or slowly begins to loosen its grip, and that is our thoughts. This isn't about pretending things are okay. It's not about thinking positive. It's about recognizing how our thoughts can either keep us trapped in the darkness or help guide us little by little toward the light. Many of us are angry after our child dies, and that anger is understandable. It's human. It's real. But anger can quietly turn into bitterness, and bitterness can grow into resentment. It's an ugly progression and one that we need to be very aware of. Bitterness hurts you and the people around you. It pulls you off the path of moving in the direction of healing, the healing you need and the healing God desires for you. Now, when I talk about healing, I'm not talking about like this is all behind you like it never happened. I'm talking about healing, getting to the place where you can function again and then continuing to where you can get to the point where life has meaning and purpose again. Now, here's something important to remember. We cannot control every thought that enters our mind, but we can control what we do with those thoughts. Now, you may have heard this in other places and maybe put this to use in other, areas of your life, but have you put that into this area of grieving the death of our child? We can dismiss our thoughts and redirect our minds, or we can turn those thoughts over and over again, allowing them to take deep root in our soul. And when bitterness and resentment take root, they often lead to depression. We start feeling sorry for ourselves, and our soul spirals even deeper into the pit of darkness. And we push people away, and the downward spiral continues. Now, I do want to say when our child first dies, it's dark. And our thoughts, that's everything is there, okay? I recognize that. I acknowledge that. I had that in myself. And when that first happens, it's like the only thing you can see in your future is pain and darkness. But let me just say, if that's the only thing you can see, then try not to look there. Don't look into the future of nothing but pain and darkness. I remember thinking, I can't be here. I can't be here a year from now, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years here without Becca. It was just pain and darkness. Until the Lord showed me that I'm not getting further and further away from Becca. Every day that I'm here, I'm getting closer and closer to her. For many of us, all we can handle is one day at a time. If all you see is that blackness and pain and you can't see anything else, then just take this one day. And sometimes not even that. Sometimes all we can manage is 1 hour at a time or simply taking the next breath like I just talked about. That's okay. But there is hope. You can be free from bitter thoughts. And it begins by giving your mind and your thoughts to the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to show you how to change your thoughts, just like I did with what I just shared about that panicky feeling that I can't imagine being here that long without her, feeling like I'm just getting further and further away from her, and that it was never going to end. The Holy Spirit gave me a different thought, a different perspective. When your mind keeps replaying the past with all of its pain and horror, ask God to gently bring something good from your past to mind. When your thoughts keep racing into the future, focusing on who won't be there, ask Him to help you think about something eternal, something hopeful, something secure. And maybe it is something here on this earth. Maybe it's future grandchildren that you might have through a different child. Something that is in your future. And maybe it's not here. Maybe it is eternal. But let God put a focus in your mind, thoughts in your mind about the good things in your future. God wants to be in your thoughts. He wants to help you keep your grief from turning into bitterness, resentment, and depression. Scripture tells us in Proverbs 4:23, "Above all, be careful what you think, because your thoughts control your life." You know, before we were even born, God knew everything that would happen in our lives. He knew the times that we would mess up small things and mess up big time. And He already had a plan in place. He also knew that we would face attacks. He knew the specific attacks we would have from the enemy of our souls, from the one who is here to rob and kill and destroy. A few months after Becca died, my sister's house burned to the ground. They were at church at the time, and her family of seven lost everything except the clothes they were wearing and the van they had driven to church that night. The only way they were able to move through that trauma and come out on the other side with victory and joy is because they refused to let their loss become the enemy's gain. My sister made the choice not to let the past become a mortgage to her future. She refused to stay chained to devastation by self-pity, and instead, she pressed into what God still had for her life and her family. Now, we have faced the greatest blow the enemy could give, which is the earthly departure of our child. Now, I know losing a home is not the same as losing a child, but it's still devastating. So many irreplaceable things are gone. Antiques and heirlooms that had been passed down to our family that she had in her possession are gone. Those are irreplaceable. Starting over, when you don't even own a paperclip or a spoon, you have absolutely nothing. And that's overwhelming. I know she homeschooled her kids and they had stacks of library books. All those were burned. And believe it or not, the library came after them and fined them for all of those books that were burned because they weren't returned. I mean, that's crazy. But here's the turning point. Our destiny, no matter what the enemy has thrown at us, is not defined by what we are handed in life. It's defined by what we do with what we're handed. Our life does not have to be defined by what happens to us. It can be defined by what we do with what happens to us here. We choose what we believe. But believing something doesn't make it true. Sometimes what we believe is based on false information. And every time I've asked God to show me a lie that I've believed, He does. It's very gracious, and He does. He exposes the lies that I believe as truth and what I am basing actions and reactions on. And the thing is, you know, it might sound discouraging, but it really isn't. It's freeing, because when a lie is exposed, it can be replaced with truth, and truth brings freedom. Jesus said in John 8:32, "You will know the truth, and the truth will give you freedom." A lot of us know that scripture is, "The truth will set you free." Now, let me just say, it can be messy getting there. Going from that place of believing a lie to believing the truth, it can get very messy as we struggle with it, but it is worth it. Our emotions drive our actions. Our emotions, though, are driven by our thoughts, and our thoughts are shaped by our beliefs. Let's talk about this. Some parents believe, I will never get past this, or I'll always feel this way. Others might think or believe, I don't want to get past this, because they have a fear that healing or moving forward in their life means leaving their child behind them and forgetting their child. And let me tell you, that is absolutely impossible. But these beliefs keep them locked in despair. But the truth is, you do not have to stay in pain to remember your child, because it's your love that keeps you connected to your child. It's not your pain. It is your love that keeps you connected. You can grieve deeply and live fully. Let's put this together. Your beliefs affect your thoughts. Your thoughts influence your emotions, and your emotions drive your actions. When our child first dies, everything goes black. Our beliefs, our thoughts, our emotions, our actions, they're all tangled together in a huge, painful mess. But slowly, sometimes without even realizing it, we begin sorting it out. And here's the question I want to gently ask you. Can you allow even a glimmer of hope that it is possible to live again, to have a life of meaning and purpose again? Thousands of parents have walked this path ahead of you. They still miss their children deeply, but they have learned how to live meaningful, purposeful lives again. And let me just say, that is not in spite of their child's death, but it's because of his or her life, and because of the life that God has for you still. One of God's specialty is resurrection power, bringing life from death. And I know we wanted to see that resurrection power physically in our child, bringing life from death. But I'm talking about what might even be a greater miracle, and that is bringing you back to life after you died. Like when your child died, we feel like we died, don't we? I've heard the saying, I died too, they just forgot to bury me. But God has resurrection life for you. Is it possible that someday you could learn how to live a life of meaning and purpose again? Even if you don't believe that now, hang on to my belief that not only it can, but it will, if you have the thought that you want it to. As we're getting ready to enter into February, I want to remind you about our monthly Reflections of Hope books. These are daily readings to have someone walking with you on those days you need some extra hope and encouragement. If February is one of those difficult months for you, please consider getting the February edition of the Reflections of Hope. Or you can get the hardback version of a full year, so that no matter when something hits you especially hard, whether you knew it was coming or it just hit you unexpectedly, you have something on hand you can turn to immediately. Just open the book and turn to that day's short entry for comfort and strength. Now, some Pareavers do read it every day. I know of one couple, they told me they have it as their coffee table book, and they read it together every day. And they have told me it is one of the main things that is helping them get through the loss of their daughter. It has a short entry, a page for you to read. Then it has a reflection, something for you to think about based on what you just read. And then it has a scripture verse to encourage you with that day's thought. Just go to gpshope.org/reflections to find out more. Now, that page also has a direct link to the books on Amazon. We don't carry those books here at GPS Hope. I also want to remind you that the paperback version of the Bible's Grieving Parents will be released in a few short weeks. I have to say, this is one of my favorite books that I have written. It's been a long time coming, and I am super excited to have the paperback version available for you to have in your hands to mark up and highlight whatever speaks to you about those in the Bible who lost a child and how God brought them through it. As I've been preparing for the paperback release of the Bible's Grieving Parents, I've been reminded of a question many of us carry quietly. Can the Bible really speak to our kind of grief? Now, the parents we read about lived centuries ago, and we're suffering today. And many of us already know the stories. So can they really help us now? Well, remember when I said that thousands of parents have walked this same path and found meaning and purpose again? That especially includes those that are recorded just for us. Now, this honest hesitation, can those people back then help me now, is how the foreword to this book begins. It was written by Linda Dillo, and I'm grateful that it does, because doubt isn't something to correct in grief. It's something to honor. Now, next week, I'll share more about that foreword for anyone who might find it helpful. In the meantime, if you prefer ebooks, it is available both on Amazon, or the ebook is available directly from our website, and we will put a link in the show notes for you. One last thing. A few days ago, I discovered that my main book, When Tragedy Strikes, is available as the Kindle version for only 50 cents. If you don't have a Kindle reader, you can actually download it for free on either your computer or your phone. So grab your copy of When Tragedy Strikes before they take that 50-cent special away. I mean, 50 cents, really. Buy it for somebody else. I don't know if you knew you could do that, but you can actually buy a book and gift it to somebody, an ebook, and send it to them. So maybe you know several bereavers. 50 cents. How many books can you give away for that? Now, I have no control over this, when it will end, because this book is published through Morgan James Publishing. It's the only book I haven't self-published, so I don't have control over decisions of, like, the pricing, when this will go away. Please let other bereavers know. And if you have the book, or when you get the book, please leave a rating and a review. Do that real quick right now by clicking a link in the show notes if you have this book, because if someone is hesitating to buy it, your review, what you write about it, is what just might make them click the purchase now button. And there will also be a link in the show notes to order your 50-cent copy. Just click the link, go there, and grab it. Let's go ahead with our birthday segment. Now, I feel like every week's birthday segment is a sacred time where I share the names of our children and the day they came into the world. So before I share these, let me just say I would be honored to say your child's name and the wonderful day they came into the world the week of his or her birthday. You can do that by going to gpshope.org/birthdays. So with that, let me share these three with you. Lucas Wild Goose was born on January 25th. And is forever 17. Celeste France was born on January 29th and is forever 17. Lion Kingsbury was born on January 29th and is forever 20. We celebrate the day these children were born and came into the world. We know it will always be a day worth celebrating. Like I said, I love to say your child's name for you. I love to share their birthday with you and celebrate with you. So if you would like to have your child's birthday shared in this sacred birthday segment, just go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Fill out that form with the information needed, and Dave will send you an email to remind you to listen that week. And it only goes on for the next birthday. If you want it repeated the following year, you get to sign them up again. So it's not something that just goes on and on. You have complete control over that. So I would be blessed and honored if you would let me do that for you. If your heart says, I doubt that will ever happen for me, getting to a point of having life of meaning and purpose again, getting out of the painful, suffocating darkness. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to believe, maybe, just maybe. And as your hope begins to grow, your thoughts will begin to shift and your emotions will follow. You won't have to stay in this darkness and keep feeling like you're being sucked under and you can't breathe and you just can't do this anymore. You do get to a point where you get to choose what you believe. And the truth is, you can learn to live a life of meaning and purpose again. Yes, it's going to look different. Yes, you will always miss your child. But yes, you can live a life that doesn't keep you stuck in his or her death, but you can learn to live in a way that honors their life. I'll leave you with this. Psalm 42, verse 11. Why am I so overwrought? Why am I so disturbed? Why can't I just hope in God? Despite all my emotions, I will believe and praise the one who saves me, my God. Your thoughts, one at a time, matter more than you realize. So let me leave you with the one final thought I share every week, which is my acronym for HOPE, H-O-P-E. Hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.